Exodus 15 and 11. That's cool. Exodus, how much? There you go. Exodus 15 and 11. We're going to talk about something tonight that's awesome, awesome, awesome. Needed in everybody's life. Needed right now. Needed in all, whatever you're facing. We're going to talk about something that's going to bring some breakthrough for some folks. Amen. How many need breakthrough? How many say I need breakthrough? Amen. Here we go. Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while thou continuest saying to me, where is thy God? And we're going to leave it right there. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, God, for all you're doing for us, Lord. I thank you, God, for your power, your authority, that nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible for you, Lord. Right now, in the name of Jesus, touch and anoint, and we thank you for what you're about to do. Amen. The church said? Now have you ever had one of those times where, as a matter of fact, that word heart there actually means deer. We were singing as a deer panteth after the water. I may have told you this illustration, I'm not for sure, but the Bible says as the heart panteth after the water brook, so my heart pants for or wants to be panteth after, my soul panteth after you, O Lord. Let me just tell you something about the heart. The little hearts, the little deer, whenever it's under attack, it tries to find a water brook. The reason it tries to find the water brook is it actually, as the enemy is coming upon it, when it finds a water brook, not only if it gets in the water brook can it stop the trail of the enemy coming after, the predator coming after it, but once it gets in the water brook, because the predator knows to look on the other side of the water, look around to pick up this trail again. So what the heart does, it's a, something built in within it that God built in this little heart. It actually submerges itself in the water. The only thing you can see to the heart, a little bitty button nose. It's pushed down in the water. Nothing can see it. The absolute enemy coming after it. The enemy cannot smell it. The enemy cannot sense it. The enemy cannot see it because it is submerged in the water. And it's just breathing through that little button nose. Wow. Like a snorkel. That's right, a built-in snorkel. So now, let me ask you a question. Is there times in your life you feel the enemy pressing down on you and you wish you could get a hold of God and you're just thirsty for Him because you know once you submerge yourself in God, the enemy cannot trace you. The enemy cannot find you. The enemy actually is trying to say, where are the tracks? Where is the scent? It cannot be found because you're engulfed in the power and in the love and in the presence of Almighty God. So the enemy's coming after you, but they're coming after you in vain because he can't find you. Amen? So now, watch this now. How many want that kind of experience? I mean, you want to be able to look, and I got a good snorkel. Amen? Can you imagine? I had a guy tell me one day when I looked up, it was like looking up a two-door garage. Amen? Can you imagine? You're under attack and you just get engulfed in the power and the presence and the provision of Almighty God. And the enemy just go right past you and not even realize that he's coming to your presence because you're in the presence of God. Now, Exodus 15 and 11. Exodus 15 and 11. Children of Israel, now they're on the other side of the Red Sea. God has already worked a miracle for them. They have walked across on dry land. They watched as Israel's army has fallen behind them. Or not Israel, but Egypt's army. And so here's what they're singing. Who is like you among gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? Wow. Let me read that one more time. Who is like you among gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness? I mean, there's none like him at all. Awesome in praises, working wonders. Awesomeness in praise. Now here's what we're going to do. You want to feel that presence of God. You want to be able to submerge yourself while you're under attack, while the predators are coming after you, while they are on your trail. You're being persecuted by the enemy, just like Job was this morning. And as you're being persecuted by the enemy and it's coming on strong, Job even told us this morning how to do this, and that is learn in your worst hour to praise God. Praise Him. Matter of fact, I want to see if y'all can do it now. Try it. I dare you. Praise Him. Now that was pitiful. Y'all praise Him. I mean praise Him. I mean something's going to scare the devil. Praise Him. Okay, come on. It ain't going to hurt. It ain't going to hurt my feelings. I promise you. Hallelujah. Praise God. The enemy's on my tail. Oh, the enemy's on the back of my feet. The enemy's nipping at my heels. But praise God. I praise God and I submerge myself in His presence and His power. And now the enemy has lost my scent. Wow. If you want the enemy to lose your scent, if you want to find a way to get back in there, here's what we're going to do today. Listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about praising God. Praise is related to God's greatness. It's related to God's awesomeness. Praise is a very powerful tool when you need supernatural intervention. When you need God to do something very special for you, if you can start with praise, you'll find something special. We usually start with complaining. I know, just me. We start with complaining or we start with whatever, but you know what? Instead of starting, next time you find yourself in trouble, instead of starting with complaining, instead of starting with something negative, start with praising God, because as you begin to praise God, something special takes place. Okay, ready? Watch this now. Awesomeness and praise. This psalm or this Exodus 15 reveals how great our God is. He alone is worthy of our praise. To Him belongs all praise. Our God is the only God and none other like Him to be praised. So one more time, I'm going to tell you again, and then after this, I don't have to tell you again. I want you to do it. Whenever you hear the word praise come out of my mouth, I want you to praise Him. All right, whenever you hear the word of praise come out of my mouth, praise Him. Ready? Here we go. Here we go. Alright. Listen. Praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I need you, God, to cover my scent. I need you, God, like the heart as it gets in the water and the enemy loses the scent. God, we praise you. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. So here we go. Get ready. There's four things that happen when we praise God. Four things. And these four things are very powerful. And guess what? It doesn't matter what your last name is, your first name is, where you come from, what race, color, creed you are. These four things work for every last person. Amen? So here's the four things. Get ready. Number one, praise surrounds us. Remember, here's the heart. The heart saying, I need you, God, to cover my scent, to help me while I'm being attacked. Number one, praise surrounds us with His presence. I've heard people say, I haven't felt Him in a long time. I don't know where He's at. I wonder, if you're trying to find God, let me tell you something, if you start praising Him, He'll find you. Amen. I don't know why. He's not talked to me lately. When you read this book, He's talking to you. Amen? And when you praise Him, the Bible says in Psalm 22:3, it says, you are holy and you are enthroned on the praises, or you inhabit the praises of Israel. I've told you before, the Chinese tried to, when they were making their Bible, they didn't even know how to take inhabit. So what they said is, when you praise God, you build a throne on which God can sit. Woo! Wow, you build a throne. And say, you're my God. You're my King. You're my all in all. I praise you, God. I praise you, God. And then when you start praising God, He surrounds you with His presence. That's why, have you ever been feeling bad and found a way to praise Him and start feeling better? You know why you feel better? Because you have invited His presence. And He's around you. So number one, praise surrounds us with His presence. I love that. Here's one I love. This directly comes from this morning. Not only does praise surround us with His presence, but praise silences Satan. Are you getting tired of hearing him talk to you? Are you getting tired of hearing him run his mouth to you? Are you getting tired of him running you down and beating you up and trying his best to make you feel substandard, like you're a nothing, nobody Christian, that you're a stepchild to God? God ain't got any stepchildren. We're all right there. I'm going to tell you what, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. Amen. God loves every last one of us. And if we can learn to praise God, we can silence Satan. When Satan came before God and said, "Let me touch everything he's got," when he come back, what did he come back with? He says, "If you consider my servant Job," he even stopped talking about him. Why? He said, "Because let me touch something else." He couldn't even talk. Why not? Because Job praised God in the middle of his mess. And so because Job was hurting, Job's emotions came out. It weren't pretty. But Job still, after he went through all that emotional stress and strain, he still praised God and he shut Satan's mouth. Wow. Shut him down. That's right. I want to shut him down. You know, it's one thing to have to I've been a football coach. And it's one thing, well, or a basketball coach. You know, I remember I played, I had my guys playing, and what they did was kind of like picking crows off a fence, because the other guys would, here's how they taught them how to do it. I watched them. We all practiced at the same time. I watched them. They took their one or two best shooters and taught their guys to get the ball to him. That was it. I said, "Boys, do you want to do that or do you want to play ball where everybody's shooting and everybody's making?" They said, "We want to do it like you're talking about, coach." I said, "All right. While they're running around handing that man the ball, here's what we're going to do. We're going to learn how to play strategic ball as a team. As we play as a team, you watch. The way we played, everybody scored. The way we played, matter of fact, they couldn't shut us down, because every time they tried to shut us down, somebody else picked up the ball and run with it. But we shut down their offense every time because we focused on that one person." And I said, "Fellas, I want you to stop him. Stop him, we win the game." And we would win the game. Let me tell you something. Listen. You want to shut down Satan? You want to stop him? You tired of listening to the junk that he tries to put in your head? Satan's main activity is to accuse you before God. He's trying to put a partition between you and God. He tries to accuse us before God. Then he accuses us to the point that we don't feel worthy to stand before God. Don't you want to shut him up? I mean, just shut up, son. In the name of Jesus, just be quiet. In the name of Jesus, put some holy duct tape on your mouth, Satan. Revelation 12:10 says, "We told it last morning, the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before God day and night." It's time we learn how powerful our mouth is. And notice that when we begin to talk about our mouth is the primary, listen, your mouth is the primary channel for your blessings. Come on now. Some of y'all were praising, some of y'all went, "Huh?" Your mouth is the primary channel for releasing our spiritual weapons on Satan's kingdom. And so if we can learn to talk God stuff, if we can learn to talk faith, if we can learn to say what God says, we can shut Satan down. But if we don't do it that way, he's going to keep on and on and on and on. So watch this. This is so cool. It said, Jesus even talking said, "Out of the mouth of infants and babes, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger." And they were hollering, "Hosanna," which is, "Blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord." Again, it's praises. So now, number one, praise surrounds us with his presence. Number two, praise silences Satan. Number three, praise strengthens us. Amen? I can think about times I've walked through, be on third shift, about to die on third shift, and things getting bad, and I'm thinking, Lord, if I could just find a hole, dig me a hole, I'd probably feel a whole lot better right now. And he'd say, praise me. Praise me. Praise me. I've been in the nursing home, been in the hospital, been in the funeral home, and feeling so bad about what's going on, and I hear the Lord say, praise me. Praise me. Praise me. There's been times that it took everything within my power. But when I did praise him, something special happened. I told you when my first wife was sick and dying, and after she died, I'd come home from work, wouldn't even eat. I'd just come home from work at lunchtime, lay on the floor, put my Bible open, and say, God, we got to do something. We got to talk. I don't know what to do anymore. And the first thing he always said was, praise me. So we praise God. If nothing else, I praised God for an hour and went back to work. God is God, is God, is God. And he establishes strength once we learn to turn this mouth into a very powerful weapon for us instead of against us. I heard not long ago about somebody that was just trying to be kid around, picked up a gun, opened it up, spun it, let the bullets fall out. Close it back up, put it to their head. It didn't empty it. There was one bullet left. And when they pulled the trigger, that was it. Now, if in hindsight that person could go back, they would not have even done that. Or they'd open up and made sure there was nothing in there by looking. Just held it open, spun it, let them fall out, trying to be cool, let them fall out, closed it up, boom. Took their own self out with the gun. There's so many Christians that do the same thing every day spiritually. By what we let come out of our mouth. We think we've got it cool. We think we've got it all figured out. We think we've got it together. And then we open our mouth with some of the most negative, crazy mess, and we shoot our own self in the head. It's important to learn to praise him. What happens when you hear the word praise? It's important that we praise him. Amen. Praise him. All right. One more thing and I'm going to let you go. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Get ready. Not only, this is so awesome, not only does praise surround us with his presence, not only does praise silence Satan, not only does praise strengthen us, but it releases supernatural power. I've seen times, there's been times where I just couldn't pray. There's been times where I couldn't even think. But I found out if I could just praise him. Just praise him. Just praise him. I don't even know what to pray for. Just praise him. And as I start to praise him, when I didn't know anything else to say, praise God, supernatural strength will come into play. Acts 16:25, it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners heard them. Now, let me just kind of talk about this. Paul and Silas had cast a demon out of a young lady. And it made their masters mad because this woman had made a lot of money, or this girl had made a lot of money for them. So they're upset. So they go and they have them brought before a mock trial, and they beat these guys. Now, they beat them hard. This isn't like just a couple lashes on the back. This is some heavy-duty stuff. Now, they didn't even realize that Paul was a Roman citizen, and it was against Roman law for this to even go on. So they take him and they beat him. And they put them in the lowest part of the prison, usually about two or three or four floors down. They put them down, and they put their hands and feet in stock. Now, when they put them in stock, or in stocks, they're usually the stocks are so nasty, and in the very bottom of the jail, that's where all the waste runs down. It's the darkest part of the prison. It's the stinkiest part of the prison. It's the coldest part of the prison. It's got human waste, and it's even got pieces of human flesh in there. So when they took them and they put them in there, their backs are beaten, bruised. They put them in those shackles or those stocks. And so now, they said back in that day, some of that mess was so bad that gangrene would even start setting in just a few minutes after being put in these things. So here are these guys. And on top of to make the day even better, if you got human waste and you got human flesh, what else do you normally have? Not only humor, odor, but what else? You have maggots. Yeah. The prisoner of war, that's how they survived. Again, also I heard, you know, did you know Lazarus? You know the name of Lazarus' dog that licked his sores? It was moreover the dog. It said, moreover, the dog licked his sores. Lazarus. And then moreover, after biblical times, it changed to rover. But it was more. Yeah. Okay. I will tell you, when I hurt my knee, I couldn't get my knee to heal. And my dog came up and kept wanting to lick it. And I said, get on. And Linda said, well, look, moreover did it. Let Mary do it. And so I let Mary do it, and it actually got better. Amen. So, okay. All right. So we're getting back over here. I'm getting off, way off. So they're down there. They're in chains. They can't move their hands. They can't move their feet. They're stuck. And they're stuck in this waste, this human filth. There's maggots and flies all around them. It stinks. And it would be easy for them to go. Is this the way God's people are to be treated? Is this the way it's going to be? I'm working for God. We just cast a demon out of a girl, and this is the way it's going to be? They should be excited that we were here. And we're down here, and our hands and our feet are locked up. We can't even move. You know what? That's not what they did. The Bible says at midnight, at the darkest possible time, after they've been in there and been exposed to all that mess for quite some time, and after there's a ton of all kinds of stuff crawling on them and stuff falling on them, the Bible says at midnight, they began to sing praises unto God. And the Bible says the prisoners heard them. It's important that we understand that the prisoners heard them, because the reason God put that in there, it says they heard them means they actually listened expectantly. That's what that means. They heard them. They listened expectantly. Meaning, they were expecting, watch them preachers. I bet they're going to like it down there. I can't wait to hear what they're going to say. Wow, I bet they're saying down there, I bet they're cussing their God now. They listened expectantly. And the Bible says, as they listened expectantly and heard them singing praises unto God, that God heard them. And God caused a great earthquake. And not only did it loosen Paul and Silas' bands, but loosened everybody's bands. Wow. It's amazing how when you get victory, how other people can get victory because you got it. Victory can be transferred. Amen? And so because they had victory, the Bible says they didn't go anywhere either. The guy came in and wanted to kill himself, the guard, because he said, they're going to kill me anyway because everybody's escaped. And Paul said, look, everybody's still here. Why were they still here? Well, you know what? If I'd have seen that, and I heard them guys talking about God, and all of a sudden there's an earthquake, my band's loose, don't you think I'm going anywhere? Number one, I'm going to stick around more expectantly to see what's going to happen next. And number two, you know what? I even heard it said that salvation spread to that prison that night. Even the jailer got saved. You see, praise releases power. When we use this effectively. I have to do it too. I catch myself sometimes saying, son, what are you talking about? I even go look in the mirror sometimes and go, David, are you paying attention to what you're saying? Do you hear what you're saying? When you start using this mouth, right? That's why Satan wants you to stay silent, because when you start praising God, you bind him. I remember years ago, I used to hear somebody tell me all the time, another saint of God said, don't let the devil hear you cry. Don't let him see you cry. If they hear you cry or see you cry, he's going to keep right on going. How many remember in school when people were picking on you? If you would go, please quit, please quit, please quit. They keep right on, don't they? But you act like they're not there, leave you alone. I remember in the fourth grade, we were taught not to fight. Daddy said, I don't want you fighting, son. He said, but I also don't want you being I don't want you being a punching bag. He says, and the only way to handle a bully is to give him a little bit of their own medicine. So I said, Daddy, you mean you want me to fight? You don't want me to fight? You know, I kind of prefer not to fight if I get a choice. And I didn't understand how I was going to be picked on because I was the tallest one in the class. I reckon that's why. I come in, and the shortest one in the class was picking on me. He was trying to go ahead and get brownie points or something with everybody. I came in every morning, and I'm on the way to go to my desk. He would push me, knock the books out my arm, push me, and just keep on, and push me all the way to the desk. And the first couple of times, I said, stop that, man. Please stop. Can you stop, please? Can you please just stop? That's what we do instead of praising God, when we just go, oh, how bad can it get? It's going to get worse. And I told my dad, I said, Dad, this guy here just keeps on. He won't stop. I don't want to get in trouble. He says, son, you want to stop it tomorrow? I said, yes, sir. He said, just rear back and get him one time. You'll never have another problem with him. I said, you okay with that? He said, I'm okay with it. I thought to myself, I'm not sure I'm okay with it. So I walked in. He started pushing. He knocked the books out of my arms. And instead of me trying to say, please leave me alone. I was in the fourth grade. I turned around and I hit him so hard, he would have to wear his glasses on the back of his head because that's where his nose was at. You know what he did? He picked up my books and put them on my desk and he apologized. And and he said he never picked on me again. Matter of fact, we became good friends. As long as I was in that school, we were good friends. Now, the point of that is, are you going to sit back and let Satan pick on you and you let him by? Or are you going to praise and put the bully in his place? See, when I praise, I ain't got to try and hit him. When I praise, God turns around and hits him. Oh, y'all, listen, y'all, one more time. When I praise, I ain't got to try and hit the bully. When I praise God, then God turns around and hits the bully. Amen. So here's my challenge to you, and we're getting ready to get ready. I want you to, we're going to have some praise altar call. All right, get ready. When you praise God, you invite his presence. You say, I haven't felt God in a long time. Praise him, you will. Number two, you want to silence Satan. You want to shut him up. Start praising God. You want some strength for the battle? Start praising God. You want to see some power released? You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles 20:22, here it is, Jehoshaphat's in trouble. He's got three countries coming against him. And he says, God, I don't know what to do. There's three countries coming against us. He said, here's what you're going to do. Here's the battle plans. I want you to put the singers out front. Not the soldiers, the singers. I want you to go on the battlefield with the singers in front, and I want them to praise me. Now that word praise there is yada praise, which means to praise with your hands extended like this. And can you see them going into the battlefield like this? Not the soldiers, the singers. I'm pretty sure the three countries coming against them thought they're giving up. They didn't realize they had already given up. They'd given it to God. So this is the sign. When you put your hands up and praise God, it's a sign that, God, I give it into your hands. I can't do a thing about it. Nothing. It's yours. And so when they walked out singing, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever with their hands raised. As they walked through the crowd got crazy and turned on each other, and they never had to lift a finger except for to praise God. Because they silenced Satan, blinded him, and he fought himself. All they had to do was go pick up the spoil and bring it back. Some of y'all in here right now, you got some spoil you need to pick up. Some stuff that's been taken from you. Some stuff that you need back. God, I'm yours. God, I'm yours. God, you said I wouldn't have to fight. This battle is yours. This battle is yours, God. Praise the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. This is our altar call right now. You got something you need in your life? I want you to put them hands up. And I want you to say, praise the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. And I want you to begin to praise Him with that yacht of praise. Put their hands up. Satan may think you're trying to surrender. You are. You're surrendering to God. God is yours. Come on, y'all. Come on. Praise the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. It's your prayer tonight. This is your prayer. Praise the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord for His mercy endures forever. Praise Him, church. Praise Him, church. I don't understand what I'm in, God, but You do, so I surrender to You. God, I don't have the strength to do what's got to be done, but I surrender to You. God, I don't know. I don't understand in this battle why I'm even fighting this battle. I don't understand, but I'm giving it to You. Praise the Lord for His mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord for His mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord for His mercy endures forever. Praise the Lamb of God. God, You got this. God, You got it. In the name of Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Next time you're in battle, I want you to raise those hands and say, God, it's yours. I surrender. It's yours. I surrender. I don't know what to do. It's yours. There's some spoil out there that I need to take back. There's something out there with my name on it that Satan stole. God, I surrender to You. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. I can't even tell you the times when I didn't know what to do. I just praised Him. And as I was praising Him, I get a phone call and they go, we don't know why we're doing this, but... Or we check the rule book and we find out you are okay. We got it all wrong. We found out that, you know what, you are right. Or in this case, we think you're the one that should be winning. And it's amazing how God's favor comes on us when we do this. We do that. I had a friend of mine who was riding in a snowstorm around Rocky Mountain area. It's in a snowstorm. He's riding through. And he had just come from a revival, I think. He's riding along. And all of a sudden, he loses control of his car. He's going into a very busy intersection. Cars everywhere. He's lost control. Here's what God told him to do. Take your hands off the wheel. This is just like that. Take your hands off the wheel and praise Me. Of course, he thought that was his dying prayer. He raised his hands. He called me up right afterwards to tell me about it. He raised his hands up. He took his feet off the pedals. Because he couldn't do anything. He had totally lost control of his car. Going into a busy intersection in Rocky Mountain. Rocky Mountain may have Edward beat just a little bit. Yeah. He raised his hands and he said, God, You're awesome. God, You're awesome. He said, matter of fact, because I didn't know what was going to happen, I closed my eyes. And he said, God is yours, is yours, is yours. And he said he felt his car come to a stop. in the inside or outside lane, no traffic, at the stop sign, no cars around him. And he was getting ready, in his eyes, to die. And when God said, do it, he did it. And it was amazing. Had another friend of mine say, he was a pilot, a trained pilot. And I was relaying that story years ago. And he came up to me afterwards and said, you know what? He said, they taught us in pilot school, in flight school. He said, if the plane begins to go in a nosedive and start spinning out of control, he said, you know what we're taught to do? Let go. He said, because the plane is designed to correct itself. He said, if you fight it, you'll die. Just let go. It will correct itself. You know what? Some of us have got to quit this. Let go. How many has heard this? Have you heard this lately? Let go and let God. Let go and let God. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, God, to worship you in spirit and truth. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch each and every person here. Minister mighty to us and through us, Father. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint in a very powerful way. I ask you, Lord, to minister to each and every person, Lord. And tomorrow, even tonight, as people find themselves with their back against the wall, they're playing in a tailspin, let them give it to God, take their hands off the wheel, raise their hands in praise, and watch.